Hi folks, this is Warren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 82. For those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know when I talk about amps and guitars and pedals and music, I'm conveying my opinion from my experience and learning over the years. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Check out the show notes, follow the Guitar Podcast on Facebook, and chime in wherever you like. Last but not least, go to theguitarpodcast.net and sign up for email alerts where you'll get emails notifying you when a new episode has been released and other timely information regarding the Guitar Podcast. All right. Today I'm going to talk about, going to continue on talking about music theory. I'm going to ramble on in my car for about maybe a half hour about building major scales, building chords, and in the triad of chords, basically the foundation of chords, and the diatonic scale, which basically is all the chords in the scale all the way out to the seventh chords, as well as cover briefly the minor scales. And hopefully, and I'll have some diagrams to support this stuff. Hopefully it all makes sense. So, without further ado, I'll give you me in my mobile podcasting studio on my way to work. All right, so what I'm going to try to explain today in this podcast is kind of a follow-up of a previous podcast where I outlined the chromatic scale and the major scale, how to construct the major scale, the whole step, half step, whole step, whole step, half step formula. Now then, I'm going to give you the formula basically to construct major, minor, and diminished chords from that formula, from that, you know, based on the major scale and eventually minor scale. Talk about minor scales in another episode. Anyway, so let's say we're wanting to, let's start with the C scale. The C scale is all the natural notes, all the white keys on your keyboard, your piano, or whatnot. But there are no sharps or flats in the key of C. It's spelled out C, D, E, F, G, A, B. Okay? So let me look at the, we're going to number each one of these letters, each one of these notes in the scale. Of course, C is 1, D is 2, E is 3, F is 4, G is 5, A is 6, and B is 7. And then, of course, 8, which is the octave, takes us to C, which starts all over again, right? Okay, so the basic foundation of any chord, well, not any chord, because you get, you know, up to your, you know, up to having, like, four or five notes to sometimes to create a single chord when you get into those wild, wacky jazz chords. But we're going to keep it fairly academic right now. With the basic fundamentals to create a chord are three notes, which we call the triad. So we have a major triad, a minor triad, and a diminished triad. The notes that make up a triad would be the first, third, and fifth note of any major or minor scale to create a major or minor triad or a major or minor chord or diminished chord, for that matter. So, when we take the first, third, and fifth notes of the C scale, which is C, E, and G, that means that would make a major chord. It's a C major chord, C, E, and G. Now then, the formula then is 1, 3, 5 for your major chord. A minor chord would be 1, flat 3, and 5, which means the third would be flat in comparison to the major scale in which that chord would be native. Okay? So then, if we flat the third for a C, it's an E flat. So to spell the chord a C minor is C, E flat, and G. Okay? Now, a really good way... Now, hopefully, last time when we talked about major scales, you went ahead and wrote out all the major scales with that whole, half formula to create major scales. And we're going to reference back to that. Because we were wanting to compare what we see in the C scale to what we see on those major scales. Okay? So say if we look at the E major scale, which is, okay, E is the second, D is the second note in the C scale. Okay? So let's look at the D major scale and look at the first, third, and fifth of that. That would be D, F sharp, and G, right? No. D, F sharp, and A. So, the D major triad is D, F sharp, and A. So that's a D major chord. But now if we look in the key of C, those notes, we start on D, it's D, F, and A. So then, the third is flatted for D, so it's a D minor chord. I hope you're following along just fine. Then we can go do the same thing for the E major scale. We take, because it's the third note in the D, in the C scale, sorry. And go on, so on and so forth. Another way that you can do this really easy is to set up a grid. And write out the C major scale horizontally, left to right. C, D, E, F, G, A, B, okay? And then right below the C, down the next line, right in line on this grid, we start on the third note. We start on the C, I mean the E. We start on the E. So it's E, F, G, A, B, C, D. And then we start on the next line, we start with, and I'll show a photo of this, so that you get an idea, kind of a diagram of what this is. You can do this with all the scales. But on the third line, which would represent the fifth note of your triad, we start on that fifth note of the C scale, which is G. And we go G, A, B, C, D, E, F. And we end right there. So now then, you've basically diagrammed your triads if you look at them from the top to bottom. Now above the very top line, across the top you can write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And those are the chords in the C scale. The first, second, third, fourth, fifth, or the notes or whatever. You can look at it that way. This would be good for if you're looking at that the Roman numeral way of looking at chord charts, like the Nashville chord charts, where it just says, you know, 1, 4, 5, you know, and maybe for a bridge you do the third or whatever. Okay, so the diagram above the top there, you'll see that you have the first chord going down is C, E, G, and we already know that that is a major chord when compared to the notes that you see in the C major scale. And the second chord is a D chord, but it's D, F, A. But if we compare those notes to the D major scale, we notice that the third is flattened, which makes it, what? A D minor chord. Now let's go to the third chord, which is an E, and we look at it and we see it's E, G, B. And we compare those notes to the E major scale, which is E, F sharp, G sharp, A, B, C sharp, D sharp, E. And we notice that there's a G sharp in the E major scale, but in our C scale, there's no G sharp, it's a G. What's that tell us? Right, it's a minor chord. Then let's go on to the fourth chord. The F chord is spelled F, A, C, right? Face. Now let's compare that to the major scale of F, F major scale, and we notice it's the same. So it is a major chord. It's not a minor. Everything matches up just fine with that triad. Same thing with the G. It's a G major chord. G, B, and D. Now, when we get to the A, it's A, C, E. Now, let's compare that one to the A major scale. It's A, B, C sharp, D, E, F sharp, G sharp, A. So right off the bat, we should notice that there's one thing that is different, and that is the C sharp in the major scale of A, and then there's a C in the C scale. So we're playing an A chord in the C scale, which makes it an A minor chord. Now we get to the seventh chord in our scale, which is a B, and it is spelled out B, D, F in the C scale. Now let's compare that one to the B major scale. B major scale is B, C sharp, D sharp, E, F sharp, G sharp, A sharp, B. Okay, a lot of sharps, right? Well, we notice that there are no sharps in the C scale. Okay, so the B, D, F is not a B, D sharp, F sharp. So both the flat, both the third and the fifth are flatted in the C scale. What's that tell us? Well, that tells us it's a B diminished chord. Okay, if you flat just the third, it is a minor chord. If you flat both the third and the fifth, it's a diminished chord. And it's not the prettiest sounding chord. So if you think about the three different chords we're talking about here, they evoke emotions when you hear them played, whether strummed or arpeggiated, just picking through the notes in the chord. So a major chord typically sounds happy and joyful and resolved, and it's like, or like you're stepping into a nice warm bath, or it's a hot day and you jump in the pool, it's all resolved, it's all nice and good, right? A minor chord is very sad. It's kind of like there's tension there, because that flatted third, it gives it tension, and there's anxiety there, there's sadness or whatever. That's why they have like blues is most of the time played in minor keys, minor scales. Now then, the diminished chord is very dissonant. It's very it's not only sad, it's almost angry. It's like there's a major struggle here, and then it's usually a lot of times you'll use a minor chord to lead to resolution to a major chord. But if you're using the seventh, it's ultra, it's like that ultimate resolution to the major chord, because there's so much tension there with the distorted sounds of a diminished chord. A good way to remember what chord is what in a major scale is to know that that basically every major scale follows this pattern when it comes to your majors and minors and diminished chords. The first one is always a major. The second and third are always minor. Fourth and fifth are always major. The sixth is always a minor. And the seventh is always, always, always a diminished. So, always remember major, minor, minor, major, major, minor, and then diminished. Okay? There's kind of a circle that happens there. It's almost like a mirror of opposites, kind of. So if you go like left to right, major, minor, minor, and then drop down below that, and then the opposite is below the other one, going back in like a circle, it's minor, minor, major, and then diminishes out on its own. But something I like to do with a major chord is, a diminished chord, if I'm writing a song or whatever, and you probably see this in other, people's, if you're learning other people's songs and stuff, that they will use they'll still use, say, like in the C scale, they'll use that B, but they'll play B minor instead of B diminished. And they're just substituting, they're changing keys with a leading, like a major fifth key change to the G scale, which uses a B minor instead of B diminished. That way you're not using that diminished chord, if you don't want to. Now, there are plenty of people who love using a diminished chord or the diminished part of the diminished structure of the scale when they're soloing. I think George Lynch is one who liked using that diminished pattern in his soloing over metal tunes. It's usually, you're all power chords, so there's basically no third. It's not really clearly defined other than the pattern of the chords, and knowing that, oh, that would have been a B minor instead of just a B one. Like, your power chord is 1-5-1 basically, and you almost never throw in that third. So it's very, very academic, very basic. The old, so there's nothing identifying any of them. But I want you to understand the chord structures within the major scale. And eventually we'll get diatonic. We'll understand the major scale diatonically, which would mean we not only know that the D chord in the C scale is a minor chord, but we know it's a minor 7. Or that the G chord in the C scale is not only a G major chord, but it's a G 7th chord, a G dominant 7th chord. Okay? So then, let's get into that. When we talk about, we're going to extend the triad to the 7th, we're going to identify that 7th chord. Whether it's a minor 7, a major 7, a dominant 7, or a diminished 7. Okay? And for our purposes, I'm going to drop the diminished stuff off of here, because a lot of times, like I said, they'll use a key change, whether minor or a minor key change, or a leading fifth or major fifth key change to change, say, like the key of C to the key of G, or from the key of G to the key of D, so that you can have an F sharp minor instead of the F sharp diminished. So a minor 7, let's back up. A major 7th chord will have the 7th note will be exactly the same as it appears in that chord's major scale. So, say, for instance, in the key of C, we have C, E, G, B. Of course, we're talking in C, so that B is part of the 7th chord and is a major 7th. So it has to have a major third, which is a C major chord, and then a major seven. Okay? So that's a C major seven. Now let's look at the D chord in the C scale. It's D, F, A, E. No, I'm sorry. It's D, F, A, C. Now, if we look at that, we'll notice that it's a minor seventh in comparison to the D major scale, because D major has a C sharp and not a C, as a seventh. So that makes it a minor seventh chord, okay? However, now, we talked about, we said the G7, so we know major 7 and minor 7, we've talked about that real quick. But how do we get a major, like a G7 chord, or a G dominant 7th chord? Well, the dominant 7th means it's a whole step flat of its tonic. Or basically, the 7th is flat, okay? So instead of the 7th in a G chord being, like a G major 7, would have an F sharp. Well, in the C scale, there's no F sharp, it's only an F, which makes it a minor 7th chord. However, we know it is a G major chord. If it's a G with a major 3rd and a flatted 7th, it's a G dominant 7th, or G 7th chord. Okay? And that is usually you'll hear this a lot in country and bluegrass and blues. Well, a lot of different styles of music will use that chord, the seventh chord, the dominant seventh chord, as a turnaround chord. Well, notice that that is the fifth chord in the scale, okay? So we'll look at, like, the blues. It's a 1-4-5 turnaround. So say if we're playing, say C minor blues, we're playing C chord is the one, and then we go up to the F chord for the four, then we go back to the C chord for the one, and then the turnaround, we go to the G, and the G is what? It's the fifth chord, and it is the seventh chord in the major scale, okay? So then we have our turnaround. So it is not a sad chord, but there is some tension there because of the dominant seventh, that flatted seventh in the G. And again, I want to tell you about how, you know, how we've talked about the pattern of the major and minor chords in a major scale. You know, it's major, minor, minor, major, major, minor, and diminished. Same thing goes for there's a pattern that will always be the same, 1 through 7 in your major scale, and that is major 7, minor 7, minor 7, major 7, dominant 7, minor 7, diminished. Okay? Or diminished 7th. It's a half diminished 7th. I'm sorry, maybe I'll follow up with that and get back and so that you can clear that up, but usually I go right by that half diminished or diminished 7th. I think it's a half diminished 7th. I think. Don't quote me on that. But the biggest thing is that we know that the 1 chord is always a major 7. The 2 chord and 3 chord are always minor 7s. 4 chord is a major 7 as well. And the 5th chord is always a dominant 7. This is the major scale, mind you. The 6th chord is always a minor 7. And the 7th is our diminished. Now then, I want to tell you a little bit about the major 7th chord. It's like the perfect chord. Everything's all in line. It's all perfect. And it's ultra happy. It's like, you know, you have a partner in the hot tub with you, if you know what I mean. It's like, it's all good then. Or say, you're sitting on your nice comfy couch and you have pizza in your lap, you know. That kind of thing. It's like, ooh, yeah, everything's good. So, the minor seventh is sad and has just an extra bit of sadness, maybe a little class to the sadness, I guess you could say. And I've already covered that dominant seventh, that tension that's there. It's not sad, it's just like, there's tension here and we need to resolve this. And we'll move right on. It's going to be cool. So, I'm hoping that really helped you understand how to construct the triad and the major 7, and the major 7, minor 7, diminished 7, half diminished 7. So, anyway, and I don't have my notes here for the half diminished and diminished 7. I think the half diminished is only a flat 7 on the major scale, and a full diminished 7th is a double flatted 7th. So, in comparison to its major scale. So, I'm thinking that the B7, the B diminished 7 is a B half diminished 7. So, alright, so now that we know, or hopefully know, how to create a major scale, and how to find the major, minor, and diminished, and major 7, minor 7, dominant 7, and half diminished 7th chords in said major scale, let's talk about a minor scale. Minor scale, I mean, there's a formula for it, sure, but I want to talk about an easier way to figure out your minor scale, because if you know your major scale, it's really and what a minor chord is, how to construct a minor chord, a minor triad, it's really easy to make a minor scale. So, if, let's say, we want to make an E minor scale, okay? Let's say Well, let's look at the E major, E minor chord. If we spell out the E minor chord, it is E, G, B. Not E, G sharp B, but E, G, B. Now, what note makes it a minor chord? It's that third. It's the G note. So, basically, we'll look at the G note. That is actually the tonic for the third, the minor third of the E chord, E minor chord. That is actually the minor third of the E minor chord, and actually this the major scale in which E minor resides. So if you play the G major scale starting on E, you have your E minor scale. Does that make sense? So if you know the G, you know all your major scales, and G is a major scale that I think everybody should know. There are several that I think are just standard. I'd say that the C, G, and D are definitely scales that you should know. And then say F and B flat would be good to know too. But I know that a lot of what we play at church is in B or E major, and I'm not sure exactly why, because those aren't really rock. I mean, from my experience listening to music in the 60s, 70s, 80s, from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, E major and B major aren't necessarily your standard rock tunes. But I know Lincoln Brewster plays in B a lot and E a lot, so I guess that's what it is. And it could possibly be that that Greg's voice really chimes well with those two keys. But from my experience, G and D are big time rock keys, and of course that's E minor and B minor. So, E minor, you hit that open E chord with your amp cranked up with some good distortion. I mean, there's nothing better than that, right? Just bam, just really loud and cool and all that stuff. So let's say we want to find the B minor scale. Well, how do you spell the B major chord? It's B, D sharp, F sharp, right? And then if it's B minor, it's B, D, F sharp. So then if you play in the key of D, but start on the letter, on B, then there's your minor scale. So I would recommend that you go ahead and you play your G scale, G, A, B, C, D, E, F sharp, and G. Play that. Just play that really slowly so that you can hear the intervals and the feel of that scale. Then play the E major scale. E, F sharp, G sharp, A, B, C sharp, D sharp, E. Then play your E minor scale, which is basically the G major scale with you starting on the E. So you'll play E, F sharp, G, A, B, C, D, E. Okay? And listen to those intervals, and you'll get that minor feel to it. You'll have that little bit of sadness or tension, little bit of blues. You know what I'm saying? So I give that a shot. I hope this helps out and helps explain things. So in the past couple episodes, then we've covered creating the chromatic scale, making a major scale. The formula for making a major scale, creating major and minor diminished chords, major seventh, minor seventh, dominant seventh, and half diminished seventh chords, basically, and understanding that our diatonic scale, which is basically the major scale all the way through with all of its normal seventh chords. And then we've talked about are minor scales. So really, these are basic fundamentals that if you have a good grasp on these, other things will pretty much come together fairly well for you. But on a final note on this, I really think that you should know your neck, know all the notes on your neck. And a good way to do that is to learn one string, whether it's the E or the A string. I recommend the E string. And if you learn the E string all the way up to the, you know, just past the 12th fret, because everything starts over at the 12th fret. If you learn all that, then you can look at your octaves, and then you, if you learn one string, if you and look at the octaves of that string, then you'll know. Then you'll know basically three strings on your neck, and then all you have to do is learn the A string, and then you'll know all six strings on the neck. But the thing is, I mean, that's kind of a shortcut way of learning. Whenever you're playing the guitar, I know it's more fun to play than to and learn new songs and play and play songs that you know and experiment with sounds and different stuff. But when say you're a little bit, you know, you've been playing for maybe a half hour, 45 minutes or something like that, and you're kind of taking a breath and you want to give your hands a little bit of a break, think about the notes that you were playing while you're on these different songs or different licks or whatever you were practicing, and try to say, oh, okay, I know that I was playing a D chord, a C chord, and then G chord, or what were the notes in these chords? What are the notes in those chords? And see how that matches up with what we were talking about earlier about how chords are constructed, major, minor, diminished, and so on and so forth. So I strongly encourage you to do that, to try to educate yourselves, because, you know, building skill, physical skill on your guitar is one thing, but mental skill is another thing, because being able to think a step ahead of the game is really important, especially if you want to improvise. Whether it's, you know, with your friends or if you record a riff on your computer or on your tracking machine or whatever it is, and then, you know, play along with yourself. You know, it's important to learn these sorts of things. No theory isn't necessarily for everybody, but I think it should be something that everybody take a look at and maybe not take all of it in all at once, but little by little. I mean, if you could take it all in all at once and you understood everything I was saying, hopefully I was clear on all this. But if, you know, if you took it all in, that's great and all. But if you need to listen to this episode, then listen to it again and go, okay, I'm going to take this much of it and really work on that, and then another part of it and work on that, and so on, then I encourage you to do it, just as long as you do it. You know, understanding this stuff is really, really important if you really want to maximize your ability on guitar. And that's just the thing. You know, I don't know how many articles I've read of, you know, world famous guitar players that, you know, are way beyond most of what any of us will be able to do on the guitar. Their skill levels and understanding is so far beyond. And some of these guys have been playing for like 40, 50 years, and they're still saying, I'm still discovering stuff on the guitar. And then I see somebody new, and they're doing something I never thought of before, and it's like, well, how are they doing that? Why were they doing that? And so guitar is like a puzzle that is never really solved. It's only like, this is another cool thing you can do, or another thing to bend the ear, make your ear go, wow, that's kind of neat. So that's one of the cool things about guitar, or music in general, I think, is that, you know, you can always be discovering something new. It's a lifelong, it can be a lifelong discovery, a lifelong companion. And I guess that's not necessarily what I thought of when I first started playing guitar when I was a little kid. I mean, who thinks like that, really? Not me. But I know I did start thinking that way later on in my teens, going, you know, this is something I, there's a whole world out there of guitar that's just way beyond whatever. I've only hit the, like, maybe a tenth of the tip of the iceberg of guitar in my lifetime, I'm sure, because I haven't fully explored all of, you know, like, all of jazz or classical or Django or, you know, all of blues, you know. I mean, good grief, I'm even really dove into blues the way that, you know, a lot of guys, I think, do. I've kind of gotten a good overview of a lot of different styles and to try to develop my own style, but I think it's really, really something that, you know, even as I get older and I know my, you know, my hands start to hurt or whatever, and I don't play as fast as I used to or whatever, there are different things that can be done, that the whole other worlds that can be discovered in playing guitar that don't require lightning speed or killer stretches, you know, like, you know, finger gymnastics on your fretboard, you know, or it's not necessarily all about that. Maybe it's just a different tuning, or maybe just playing slide. And that's a whole nother world too, right? All the different tunings that go with slide, open tunings, and I mean, it's just amazing. So, and if you're getting into that, you know, music theory and chord theory really, really play into that. A good knowledge of that is very important. So I really hope this helped all of you. I know some of you may have been going like, yeah, I already knew that. And if you already knew that, knew all this stuff that I was saying, you know, you can be grading me on this. If I was missing something, please share. Let me know what, you know, anything that you'd like to add to what I was saying, or maybe some corrections, you know, because I'm not necessarily the authority. I didn't go to MIT or GIT or Berklee School of Music. I'm not formally trained in guitar. The guys who taught me music theory from the start are old hippies from the 60s, and they weren't formally trained at a college or anything, any higher educational institution. So, but it works. I see it work, and I see it. I whenever I learn a song, I apply those principles to, or those practices to the songs that I'm learning, and go, okay, this lines up, this makes sense, and this is why it works. And then I look in a book or read somebody talking about music theory in a way that is more, in a much more educated format than what I look at, and it aligns up. I mean, if it works for you the other way, if you need that formal education, great. But I hope this helps you, and I'd love to hear your feedback one way or the other. If you've never heard this stuff before, if it helped make sense, you know, this way, or if you're totally confused. And if you're totally confused, I sincerely apologize. I was certainly trying to help and not confuse. So I'm going to make some diagrams to post on the show notes page for you, so that you can see what I'm talking about here. Maybe help you out. And well, that pretty much wraps it up for today's episode of the Guitar Podcast. Please email me with your questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net, comment on Facebook, or the show notes page, whichever you like. If you like what you heard today and you subscribe using iTunes or Zune, please let them know by writing a review. Also, if you liked what you heard today and would like to support the show, there's an easy way you may do it. If you want to buy an album or a video or a movie or something like that on iTunes, instead of going right to iTunes, go to theguitarpodcast.net and click on one of the banner links there, and then complete your transaction. It's just a way you can support the show in a little bit of action. It doesn't cost you any extra. It actually costs iTunes extra. So, anyway, hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks for tuning in again. This is Lauren Hunt, signing off for the Guitar Podcast.